Mohandas K. Gandhi captured the imagination of the world with the image of a frail little man who was able to move mountains, harnessing a degree of inner strength no one could have anticipated, and in the process, spearheading his country's liberation from British rule. Vina Howard is an assistant professor in the Department of Philosophy at California State University, Fresno. She's written a book called Gandhi's Ascetic Activism, Renunciation and Social Change. In it, she looks at the sources of that inner strength, and she's with us in our studio this morning. Good morning, Vina.
Good morning. I'm happy to be here.
It's happy to have you. Most people would immediately come up with a visual image of Gandhi before just about anything else, right?
That's correct.
Seated in a yoga pose and somehow wielding enormous power. What's that about?
Yeah, either yoga pose or spinning his wheel.
Yes, yes.
Right? Those Apple, Steve Jobs uses that image of spinning
the
wheel.
The loom, yeah.
Right, little old man in his lion cloth. And that image is, you know, to us seem like a little old man, but in India it invokes an image of a yogi, a Mahatma. Mahatma means a great soul. And it's a title. It's not just an honorific title as a doctor or reverend. It is a yogi. It's the one who really tames, really restrains his sensual desires and overcomes his or her passions. And that's a yogi, and that's a Mahatma, that great soul.
One might think that taming one's passions would lead to a kind of numbness, you know, moving you away from strength.
Right. And that's the psychoanalyst would say, too. It's almost like repressing it.
Yeah.
But he's not repressing it. In the Indian systems, it's yours. You channel that energy for creative things. You become more creative. And because we all have this very innate energy within us, and we can use it or abuse it in certain ways, but you can also harness it and channel it.
So in a way, energy is a sort of a quantum that can be taken from one place to another.
Right.
Fear can become strength.
Exactly. And it's very tangible also. You know, it's a very tangible energy. You know, I always wonder when he stood up in front of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people, and he will ask these peasants and common Indians, men and women, and to go for a strike, for example, or resist the unjust laws. And people will just do it.
And yet placing themselves at great risk.
Risk, right. But why?
Yeah.
In today's world, we say, why should I do it?
Sure.
And what was that? Where did this get this power? Where did you get this energy or charisma, some would say?
It was always described in the accounts of the time as a kind of an intangible, right?
Right, right. Yet it was tangible in some ways because people sensed it, right?
You got the result, right?
Exactly. It's a very intangible yet very tangible with tangible results.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. So the Indians called him Mahatma around 1915. And he was not very old.
That's way before the world knew about him.
Way before the world knew about him. But in South Africa, he was well known, what he did in South Africa. And then our poet, Rabindranath Tagore, wrote a letter to him saying that he was what he's doing is not a common human being. It must be a Mahatma, a great soul. And many, you know, Westerners like theosophists, and they recognize in him, or British leaders, something was different. Something is different with this man. And they couldn't put their hands on, their fingers on. It's like you say, it was intangible, but they could feel it.
The superficial judgment, and I think kind of an inaccurate one, be to say he's a holy man. That's not quite it, is it?
Well, we don't have that vocabulary in English, right? Either we have a saint, right? The word saint. But the saint, we have a different connotations of the word saint, right? The saint Mahatma. Saint, that's what is used as saint politician. But the Mahatma carries with it a certain indigenous connotations that the person has so much inner power. And you have to read my book for that, is that how he gets that inner power, again, by restraining. Again, the yoga is not simply the discipline of body, the discipline of mind, discipline of senses, discipline of your emotions. It's a complete discipline And that with discipline creates power.
It's a looking within to affect life without is what it sounds like.
That's right. So a lot of time what happened in traditionally in India's history, when you see these Mahatmas don't go out become politicians and activists, right? You can't imagine today's world our presidential nominees being yogis and Mahatmas, do we? I wish sometimes.
Not offhand, yeah.
Right? And so, I mean, you can't imagine any being Donald Trump or somebody being celibate.
He's been called many things, but Mahatma is not
right.
one of
or
them.
Or anyone yeah. else, you know, and a politician.
Sure.
So let it be India, too. So, but he was a kind of a very paradoxical combination of a saint and politician, Mahatma and politician.
It sounds as if it all depends on people's ability to sense that inner power
right.
in an almost telepathic manner, that mm-hmm. you see this little guy up there in a loincloth and 5,000 people all at once say, he's got it, I'm going to listen to him.
And don't be sensitive in today. I mean, look at what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did
sure.
here and how he sensed that power and brought it to a very different context. And look at Cesar Chavez in our Central Valley in California, mm-hmm. how he used for the farm workers movement. And I think we need Gandhi's model today, don't we?
I think both Dr. King and Chavez would say that Gandhi alerted them to what was possible.
Yes. And then I think what is the power is the inner power and the power of the people that come together. And the leader has to lead. The leader has to have that kind of intangible, I don't know whether I should call it spiritual or not. I mean, yogic in a quotes, that this power mm-hmm. that really concentrated this inner force that shows us what's possible.
So a group of people that has no focus becomes a group with a focus.
That's right.
Big difference.
That's right. I've been in conversation with Reverend Lawson, James Lawson. I don't know whether you know his name. He was in the movement of Dr. King, and he's the one who led the lunch counter sit-ins. He's the one who went to India and brought
that. That's when we really
idea.
Became aware of that kind of power.
Right, right.
And you know, thank you so much. We have to run. But
okay.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much.
Dr. Veena Howard is an assistant professor in the Department of Philosophy at California State University, Fresno. She'll be giving a talk entitled Gandhi on Yoga in Daily Life and for Social Justice at Honolulu Still and Moving Center, July 31st at 4 p.m. in Honolulu. And you can find out more on our Facebook page.